Good to be with you again this morning. It's lovely to come and share worship with you, meeting with the Lord, and also looking at his word. The first song that we began our worship time with, it had a phrase in there, and I had to sit down and write it down in case I forgot it. It was, ponder anew what the Almighty can do. And this morning, if it's just that, pondering anew what the Almighty can do. And I want to just pray that over us this morning as we get into this word. God, I thank you for this phrase. And this morning, I pray that we would just ponder anew what you, the Almighty, can do. Not in any other church, not in anyone else's life, but in my life, in every life in this room today. Lord, we just ponder anew what you want to do in us, what you want to do through us, the way that you want to mobilize us, the way that by your spirit you want to equip us and you want to propel us into a situation that you want us to see a difference in. And it's by your Holy Spirit that this can happen. So God, I pray we just draw so much from this story this morning. Holy Spirit, inspire what's spoken. And Lord, I pray our ears will be just tuned right into your heart for your church today. Amen. Okay, brilliant. Thanks for reading that to us this morning. Just as I was just reading over this scripture this morning, just the first thing, this is for free, this bit is okay. This first bit, if we're looking for a strategy for church growth, then it's right in this first verse. In the NIV, it says, that this is what God spoke to Abram. He said, walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you will greatly increase your numbers. Come on, you know, it's there, isn't it? If we want to see our numbers increased, if we want to see church growth, then there's an instruction there that Abraham received from God, and I believe it's for us as well. It's, walk before me and be blameless. So as church, we want to see revival, we want to see God's kingdom come as church. Let's just walk with God. Let's walk in close relationship with him. Let's live a blameless life. Let's live a life that his spirit is in and moving out of. You know, then, yeah, see church grow. We see numbers increase. We want to see that, don't we? Yeah. Well, I do anyway. But anyway, let's just move on with this story this morning. I've kind of got a bit of a heading and I've called it Made for Great Things. And we have to see ourselves as people that are made for great things. And, God saw Abraham and Sarai. He saw them in a way that possibly they didn't initially see themselves. But he saw them within this couple, great things are going to happen. Awesome things are going to take place from the lives of this couple. And in those first few verses, the Lord appeared. And he said to Abraham, I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. And, just imagine that scenario where Abraham is kind of doing what he does. And all of a sudden, bam, God turns up. And God just begins to have this conversation with Abraham. And God Almighty, he always fulfills his promises. And, whenever God promises something, God is going to fulfill what he promises. And God has already spoken this to Abraham. God has already revealed his heart to Abraham. And Abraham has got an idea of some of the things that God wants to do through his life. And it was 24 years since what we're looking at today that God had already kind of begun to reveal and share with Abraham his promise of what was going to take place. And now God, again, meets with Abraham at this time. And Abraham, as he stands before God, God is going to release more detail of his covenant. And so at the age of 99, Abraham stands there and God begins to speak to him. You know, at the age of 99, I know he lived to about 175, but at 99, God begins to speak into his life. He begins to put a little bit more detail. And he says, yes, serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. You know, and where do we see in verse 3, where is Abraham? Abraham is on his face before God because he realizes into whose presence he's come into. he realizes that it's El Shaddai. So he realizes it's Almighty God standing before him. So Abraham is out on his face before the Lord. And, you know, what God has just told him, what God has just revealed to him, if this is going to happen, it's got to be God. If this is going to take place in the way that God says it's going to take place, it's got to be God. You know, sometimes we have situations like that, don't we? When God begins to tell us things, when God begins to speak things into our lives, and we think, oh, if this is going to happen, it's got to be you, God. It's got to be your power at work, God. Because everything naturally, as it was with Abraham and Sarai, as it was with this couple, it wasn't looking good. It wasn't looking hopeful. It's got to be God. And so let's just look briefly at this list of great things that God is agreeing with as he speaks to Abraham. He says, Abraham, you're going to have countless descendants. You're going to be a father of multitude. You're going to be a father of a multitude of nations. Kings will be among them. And I'm even going to give you a new name. And so Abraham's standing there. He's 99. And God just begins to pour this out to him. He just begins to tell him, hey, you're going to do this. You're going to have this following on from you. You're going to be a... And so God gives him this new name, Abraham. And this means he's going to be a father of many nations. So God is committed to seeing this happen. You know, God is passionate to see it happen through Abraham. You know, Abraham is the man of the moment. God's not looking for anyone else for this situation. God has got his eyes fixed on working through Abraham. And so God does everything he can to help Abraham to see that I'm committed to you, Abraham. I'm committed to you. I'm making this covenant. I'm making this passionate agreement with you. And I'm not going to let you down. I'm not going to disappoint you. But Abraham, you've got to walk with me. You've got to walk blameless. And you've got to keep yourself faithful to this agreement that I'm making with you. And I'm even going to change your name just to really let you see that I'm committed to seeing the fulfillment of what I'm talking about, what I'm saying over your life today. Then in verse 15, we discover something about Sarah or Sarai. She too has a name change. And God changes her name to Sarah, which means you're going to be a mother of many nations. Just going to read verse 17. Then Abraham bowed down to the ground. But he laughed to himself in disbelief. How could I become a father at the age of 100? Just pause there. I'm not sure whether between verse 1 and verse 17 he has a birthday. Because in verse 1 he's 99, now he's 100. Da, 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 da. So, you know, maybe he has a birthday, I don't know. But he says, how can I become a father at the age of 100? And how can Sarah have a baby when she is 90 years old? So we sort of read these stories and we just think, it's plain sailing. It's Abraham and Sarah, isn't it? But, you know, when we get into the bit of the detail, we can see some of the grappling that takes place. Some of that, well, in the natural way, it's like this. You know, it ain't going to happen. But then God says, yeah, I'm with you. I understand the natural stuff because I've created you. But also, I'm a supernatural God. So where the natural's not going to do it, well, believe me, to intervene supernaturally. So Abraham is still struggling to see how all this can come to pass. So it goes on. Verse 18. So Abraham said to God, may Ishmael live under your special blessing. Now Ishmael was the son that Abraham had with Sarah's maid Hagar. And then in the day, it was okay to do that, but in today, but it was then. And he said, what about Ishmael? You know, can't he come under this special blessing? And God quite clearly says in verse 19, no. Sarah, your wife, will give birth to a son for you. You know, so Abraham was trying to assist God. He was trying to put an alternative plan into place. One that Abraham maybe at that time I can see that way working. I can see that route being a route where it could happen through. But God wasn't interested in how Abraham saw things, because God is El Shaddai, Almighty God. He's in control. He's the one who created everything. And he says, no, it's going to happen through your wife. It's going to happen through Sarah. That's the way it's going to take place. Galatians chapter 4, verse 29. It likens it this way. It talks about Hagar's son Ishmael to be the product of human effort done in the ordinary way, and Isaac, the child born, and the son Isaac is a child born by the power of the Spirit. So Ishmael was a product of human effort, but Isaac was a result of a child born by the power of the Spirit. God still wants to use us. God still wants to use his church for great things. He really, really does. But so often we settle for the Ishmaels, don't we? Yeah, I believe God said this, but, you know, this is already in place. Let's use this, shall we? No. Trust me. Trust me. Listen to me. Have some faith. God still wants to use us for great things. He doesn't want to use us for average things. He doesn't want to use us for okay things. Or he doesn't want to use us for things, oh, that'll do. You know, so often we say, oh, that'll do. That's good enough, that'll do. He wants to use us for things that are born out of the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to come to those situations and we have to say, if this is going to work, it's got to be God. If this is going to happen, it's got to be God. You know, it's not about us feeling great. You know, maybe this morning you don't feel too great. But that doesn't matter. It's not about how we feel. It's not about how I feel today. You know, Monday morning I may not feel great. But does that change the way that God looks at me? No. Does that change the way God is? No. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. El Shaddai, Almighty God. I'm so good he doesn't bounce up and down with feelings. You know, because we go through life, don't we, bouncing up and down. One day we feel top of the world, next day we feel as low as we can go. But God's the same throughout. He doesn't respond or react to feelings, but we do. And so it doesn't matter how you're feeling today. It doesn't matter if you're feeling great or not. Why? Because God is great. Psalm 145, verse 3. I think we may have made reference to this already today. It says, great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. And that greatness is available for every single one of us today. We can tap into that greatness. Because we are one with Christ. We're one with God through Christ Jesus, filled with his Spirit. So we can tap into that greatness. Abraham was kind of getting an insight how he could tap into the greatness of God. God was there before him. I've got some greatness for you to tap into, Abraham. I've got some greatness that is going to see an impossible situation become possible. You're going to tap into my greatness? Brilliant. Good response. Great is the Lord. You know, let's not be restricted or limited and only think things can happen if we work with human resources. It's good to work with what God's blessed us with. But sometimes it's just not enough. We need to tap into the greatness of God. We need to tap right into that greatness of God. You know, I don't know if you've been to some massive big warehouse somewhere, or you go into America and you go to these Walmart places, they're massive big warehouses. And I just thought one day, wonder what the warehouse of greatness is like in heaven. You know, when we pray, we start to tap into that warehouse. And I thought, okay, take the roof off it, take the sides off it, and then beyond where you, beyond how far you can see, that is the greatness of God. We can't imagine it. It's so big. And when we pray, we tap into that greatness of God. When we begin to come before God for what is a natural, impossible situation, we start to tap into that greatness. We need to be a people that tap into the greatness. If we want to see awesome things take place, we better tap into the one who's awesome. If we want to see signs and wonders, we want to see miracles, we tap into the one who can release those signs and wonders and miracles. Chapter 12, verse 9. When Paul is having this discussion about his kind of thorn in the flesh, some say it's this, some say it's that. I'm not going to comment. But I'm going to just comment on the verse that follows, where the Lord Jesus says to Paul, "My grace is all you need." Okay? My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. What is the grace of God? His presence, his favour, his power. Okay, the grace of God, his presence, his favour and his power. And the Lord Jesus says, my grace, okay, is all you need. Come on. My power works best in weakness. If you're not feeling great this morning, if you're not feeling too special, what are you feeling? A little bit weak. You're feeling a little bit rubbish. Where does his grace work best? When you're feeling weak, when you're feeling rubbish, when you're having a pants day, that's when his grace works best. I don't suppose Abram felt on top of the world when God started to talk to him about what he was going to do. But he started to tap into that greatness. He started to tap into all that God was releasing through that agreement and that covenant. But what do we discover? Abraham ignored his feelings, didn't he? He said, I'm not going to listen to my feelings. And he got straight on with his part of the agreement. Chapter 17, verse 23, we read, on that very day, he started doing what he'd been told to do. Go and sort the boys out. And he got on with it on that very day. He didn't, oh, let's wait until tomorrow. No, he got on with it straight away. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says this, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Doesn't say I can do some things, doesn't say I can do a few things, but I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Tap into that greatness, made for great things. You know, God has got a sovereign will for every one of our lives. There's also things that are permissible, things that he'll allow to happen. But there's a sovereign will. And when we walk in that sovereign will, that's when we're tapping into the greatness of God. When we're walking in the permissive will, that's when we're relying on human resources. That's when we're relying on human kind of abilities to get by, the Ishmaels. But the sovereign will of God, I'm going to tap into your greatness because I want to be walking in the sovereign plan and purposes that you have for my life. I want church to tap into your sovereign will and your sovereign ways. I want to tap into that greatness. When we give our lives to Jesus, when we belong to him, we can still choose to go both ways. We can still choose to tap into their natural resources. We can still choose for the Ishmaels, because this is what Abraham was suggesting to God. We can still choose to go to the way of the Ishmael. Or we can say, no, I'm going to choose the way of the Spirit. I'm going to choose the way that just really gets me tapping into the will of God, that gets me tapping into the greatness of God. That's what we see taking place with Abraham and Sarah. You know, we know the end of the story, don't we? We know how God just so blessed them. And so we can say, yeah, it was okay for them. Only because we know the end of the story. I don't know the end of the story for your life. And probably you don't either. But I want to encourage you today, tap into that sovereign will of God for your life. Tap into the greatness of God for your life. Okay? I want us to pray. I want to pray for you guys. And then, yeah. Lord, thank you for your word to us today. Lord, I thank you that you want us to ponder anew what the Almighty can do. Lord, I just ask that maybe we'd begin to really come before you, maybe like we've never ever done before. Lord, if we're passionate to see things happen, if we're passionate to see your kingdom come and your will being done, and maybe up until now we've relied predominantly on human resources and we've seen a few Ishmaels come along and we're trying to kind of drag them up and say, God, can't you use this? Can't you kind of work in this situation? Can't you flow through this? And God's saying no. God is saying no. I want to do something that only happens because I'm in it. I want to do something that only happens because you've tapped into the greatness of who I am. Because you've tapped into that warehouse and you've seen a release from that warehouse. Something that's not obtainable from any other place, only from me. Lord, I pray we'd seek you first. We'd seek you first. Lord, we wouldn't try and argue with you. We wouldn't try and have a discussion with you. But Lord Jesus, we would just be submissive to you. We'd be obedient to you as you've called us to be. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord God, for your agreement with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your promises over our lives. Thank you for your promises over our church and our churches. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, help us to be serious about tapping into your greatness because you've called us for great things. Amen. Amen.